Oscar nominations are out, and in the lead is Mank. The David Fincher-directed film about the writing of Citizen Kane picked up the most nominations with 10, while other films, including Nomadland, The Trial of the Chicago 7, Minari, and Judas and the Black Messiah performed well, too.
We'll get into what surprised us and what disappointed us. And this year, more than ever, you can check out the eligible movies from the comfort of your own home. I'm Aisha Harris.
And I'm Linda Holmes. And today we're talking about Oscar nominations on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Welcome to banking reimagined. Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere. Check on the account balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money on the go. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. It's just the two of us today. We're going to give you just an overview of the major nominees. We'll have our big Oscar preview closer to the ceremony. You can find all the nominees at oscars.org if you want to see every single one. Let's start, obviously, with Best Picture. As I mentioned, Mank was nominated along with The Father, which is the film where Anthony Hopkins plays a man who is battling dementia, Judas and the Black Messiah, Shaka King's film about Fred Hampton, Minari, which is Lee Isaac Chung's film about a Korean-American family who relocates to Arkansas, Nomadland, which is Chloe Zhao's film with Frances McDormand, Promising Young Woman, which is Emerald Fennell's revenge thriller starring Carey Mulligan, Sound of Metal, Darius Marder's film with Riz Ahmed as a drummer who begins to lose his hearing, and The Trial of the Chicago 7, Aaron Sorkin's courtroom drama about the Chicago 7. Aisha, do you have a favorite on that list, do you think?
Ooh, I think that this is actually a pretty decent list considering the way the Oscars can sometimes pan out. If I had to name my top three, it would be Minari, Nomadland, and somewhat controversial pick, but Promising Young Woman.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I'm most excited about. But I also really liked Sound of Metal.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed Mank more than other people did, although I still don't think it necessarily deserved all the nominations it's gotten. And Judas and the Black Messiah, I think, is a really strong film with great performances. So
yeah.
I'm overall pretty pleased.
Yeah, you know, the only one of these I have not seen, I will tell you right now, is Mank, because I did not cover it on our show. And when I tried to watch it, I got a little bit bogged down in it. I would say the Chicago 7 is probably my least favorite, but that's sort of because it's a little obligatory.
Yeah.
But the rest of these I really think are good movies. I agree with you about Promising Young Woman. I loved Sound of Metal. I think Minari is the kind of movie that sometimes the Oscars will overlook. Nomadland is a beautiful film. I think it's a really, really strong field, and there's nothing in there that I think, like, how did that happen, which is not always the case.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can totally see why Mank was nominated. It's a movie about movies. And again, Trial of Chicago 7 is just like courtroom drama, of course, and Aaron Sorkin.
Right. You know. And it's a bunch of, you know, the historical film, the film that's sort of about politics. And, you know, it got a nomination for Sacha Baron Cohen, who also, you know, made a Borat movie this year. So he had a, you know, big year. Interestingly enough, that the directors who were nominated did not include Aaron Sorkin for Trial of Chicago 7, which I think a lot of people expected. He did get a screenplay nomination, but the directors who were nominated were Thomas Vinterberg for Another Round. That one, I think, was a little bit of a surprise. And David Fincher for Mank, Lee Isaac Chung for Minari, Chloe Zhao for Nomadland, and Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman. It's the first time that two women have ever been nominated in the same year for Best Director.
Yeah. Such a low bar to clear.
And Chloe Zhao is the first woman of color ever nominated for Best Director. These are pitiful records to be records at this point. I mean, it is sad that these are firsts. I am excited that they happened, but what a thing that these are firsts.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much to say beyond just, like, I'm really excited that they are both there, both Emerald Fennell and Chloe Zhao.
Yeah.
But also, come on now, like, why are we still having these conversations? And
yeah.
I would have loved to see Regina King thrown into the mix as well.
Yeah.
Probably instead of, I don't know, David Fincher. I know he was making his dream project, but it was also, like, so much Mank. Mank, Mank, Mank.
Mank. Mankity, Mank, Mank. That's our rundown of the Oscar nominations. Yeah, I'm excited about those two. And I would add Chloe Zhao is also the first woman who's been nominated four times in the same year because she did so much of the work on Nomadland. She was nominated for directing, for writing, for editing, and for producing, which is the Best Picture nomination. So when we move on to actors, you do have a, I think, more diverse acting field than has often been the case, which is not necessarily saying much, but in the lead actor category, you have Riz Ahmed in Sound of Metal, a performance I really super loved. Chadwick Boseman in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, who I think a lot of people expect to win. Anthony Hopkins in The Father, Gary Oldman in Mank, and Steven Yeun in Minari. I already said I love Riz Ahmed. I love Steven Yeun. How about you, Aisha? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of these nominations are pretty strong. Although Gary Oldman, again, Mank. But
you're the one who likes Mank.
Yeah, I mean, I like it to a degree. But, you know, I do think that Chadwick Boseman, it is his award to lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will be so happy if he does win it. But I will also be very happy if Riz Ahmed or Steven Yeun win. I think Anthony Hopkins, especially in the final moments of The Father, mm-hmm. has just a really, really, really strong performance. But, you know, he's won the award already. And sometimes that can work against you. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch.
When we move on to actresses, we have Viola Davis in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Andra Day in The United States versus Billie Holiday. She recently won a Golden Globe. Vanessa Kirby in Pieces of a Woman, Frances McDormand in Nomadland, and Carrie Mulligan in Promising Young Woman. I don't know if I have a favorite among those. I did love Nomadland. And I, like you, I like Promising Young Woman. I like that Carrie Mulligan performance.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting that we now have two women who have been nominated for playing Billie Holiday, Diana Ross being the first for Lady Sings the Blues some almost 40 plus years ago.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that. But I agree with you that it's kind of hard to parse out, for me at least, who I would want to win. I think Carrie Mulligan is really doing a lot with the difficult performance. And so I really kind of hope she edges the others out. But I also think all these performances were strong. Although I will say, like, I had forgotten about Pieces of a Woman for various reasons.
Well, and I do think Vanessa Kirby, that's a film that begins with a woman in labor and then kind of goes on from there. I will say that is one that she, I think, was the best thing about it.
Right.
I think her performance is the best thing about it, and the way that character is written is the best thing about it. So that does happen sometimes. When we move on to supporting actors, as we mentioned, Sacha Baron Cohen in The Trial of Chicago 7, Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield for Judas and the Black Messiah, a film that apparently has no lead actor, only two supporting actors, Leslie Odom Jr. in One Night in Miami, and Paul Rassi in The Sound of Metal, a nomination I was very happy to see. These are all performances I think were good, except I didn't care much about the Sacha Baron Cohen in Chicago 7.
Same.
But, you know, the other ones in here are all interesting. It's interesting that four out of five of these nominees are historical figures.
Again, low bar. But I do kind of find it kind of frustrating to see Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield both in this category. I feel like Lakeith Stanfield was very clearly the lead, especially since the Fred Hampton character, whom Daniel Kaluuya plays, kind of disappears for parts of the movie for long stretches of time.
Yeah.
So I'm disappointed that that is how it shook out and that one of those spots couldn't have gone instead to Delroy Lindo for Defy Bloods, which basically, I think, the only nomination that movie received was for its score for Terrence Blanchard. So yeah, really disappointed about that. But overall, it'll be an interesting race. And I agree with you that Rassi in Sound of Metal is just really fantastic. So it's great to see him there, too.
Yeah, I always like to see the films get nominated where you know that if the film had not been really good, it would not have gotten a bunch of nominations, as opposed to the ones where you say, like, they could have nominated this before it even came out. You know, like Mank and like Chicago 7. You know, if Sound of Metal hadn't been good, it would not have picked up a bunch of nominations, right? It sort of needed to be good to break through because it is a quieter story. But if people haven't checked that out, that movie's on Prime Video. Actresses in supporting roles, Maria Bakalova in Borat subsequent movie film, plus Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy. There's a little whiplash for you. Olivia Colman in The Father. She's wonderful in that. Amanda Seyfried in Mank and Ye Jung-yoon in Minari. Several that I love in here. I love Olivia Colman in The Father. I'm not a Borat person. I love the Ye Jung-yoon performance in Minari. What do you think, Aisha?
Well, I think it's interesting to see Bakalova in there. I feel like she is the Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids nomination of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
We rarely see any actor, whether male or female, but we rarely see especially like women being nominated for a very, not that it's a light role because it is a kind of hefty character, but it's clearly on the more zany side than it is.
Broadly comedic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy, which is like unintentionally comedic. So,
yeah, it's interesting to note that the only two nominations that Hillbilly Elegy got were this Glenn Close performance and makeup, which is sort of, I mean, if you've seen her in that, she is heavily disguised from her normal self. But boy, several good, I think, performances in that category as well. We are always interested in the screenplay categories because a lot of times you get your little interesting movies popping out in there. But this year, most of them are ones that got a bunch of other nominations, particularly an original screenplay where you have Judas and the Black Messiah, Minari, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of Chicago 7. Over in Adapted, you do have a couple of interesting ones. You know, the Borat script is in there. The Father is in there. Nomadland is in there. They did get a nomination for One Night in Miami for the Kent Powers screenplay. He's also the playwright, yeah?
Yes, yes, of the original play, yes.
And then The White Tiger. So there are some interesting ones in Adapted, but interesting to note, Mank, despite getting 10 nominations, they did not nominate the screenplay. What, I wonder, shall we take away from that?
Also, a movie that is literally about writing a screenplay.
It's true. It's true. So over in animated feature, we have the two somewhat expected Pixar, Disney kind of ones, Onward and Soul, plus Over the Moon, A Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon. That's a nice long title. And my personal sentimental favorite in this category, Wolfwalkers, which is a, boy, that's a beauty.
Yeah, Wolfwalkers was a surprise for me. I went into it knowing literally nothing about it. So
yeah, me too.
Once I checked it out, it was just a lovely, thoughtful movie. The animation is really brilliant, and people can watch it on Apple Plus. It's right there. Yeah. So I highly recommend they check it out.
Documentary feature, Collective, which I've talked about before, I really love, which is a very tough documentary about a nightclub fire. Crip Camp, The Mole Agent, My Octopus Teacher, and Time. I will be checking out more of these as we approach the Oscars because I'm still short of a couple of documentary features.
Yeah, Time was one of my favorites of any movie last year, and it's a really beautiful story about restorative justice and the prison industrial complex, but in a very interesting way, just cinematically. So I encourage everyone to check it out, for sure.
Yep. And then we have International Feature Film of the Year, another round from Denmark, Better Days from Hong Kong, Collective, again from Romania, The Man Who Sold His Skin from Tunisia, and Quo Vadis Aida from Bosnia and Herzegovina. You know, again, as with documentaries, I still have to catch up with a couple of those.
Yeah, I need to catch up with all of them.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to.
And I'm still catching up with those. But we will have actually full episodes about international feature and animated feature and documentary feature. So you can keep an eye out for those. These are, again, more accessible than usual. They are more available than usual. We'll keep you up to date on sort of finding and tracking those down. And we do want to know what you think about this year's nominations. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. Aisha, as always, it's wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you, Linda.
And before we go, we want to share some good news. For the first time in Pop Culture Happy Hour history, the podcast is getting a new logo. I love it. If you want a sneak peek of the new logo, it'll be in this week's newsletter. You can subscribe to that at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. Again, npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all on Wednesday when we will be talking about Oscar nominee Steven Yeun's essential performances.
On NPR's Consider This podcast, we don't just help you keep up with the news, we help you make sense of what's happening. Like what the case about George Floyd's killing means for the ongoing fight for racial justice, or how to best navigate a pandemic that's changed life for all of us. All of that in 15 minutes every weekday. Listen now to Consider This from NPR.